Hi everyone, welcome back. It's episode 107 of Bucks UK TV. It's a short week this week. It's nearly Halloween. It's getting a bit chilly. Where's the last place you want to go? It's up to Buffalo. Thursday night football. The Bucks UK faithful will be tuning in gone 1 a.m. Friday morning, and that's just the start of the game. So please give us your sympathy. Tim, you were saying that this is not an easy game or a place you want to go.
When you come off a difficult defeat as we had last Sunday, you would like a game where you can try and put a few things right. And unfortunately, Buffalo is not normally the place to go. And coming off the surprising loss they had Sunday, I think it's going to be quite an intimidating and difficult place to go and play.
Tom, I mean, we'll get into the individual O's and D's, but just as an overall take, where is Buffalo this year? Because it feels like in years past, certainly the last 2 or 3 years, right? This is a good team. They're on the cusp of a Super Bowl, but I mean, what did the New Orleans, not new, did the New England Patriots show us the real Buffalo last night?
I think they showed us the blueprint on how to beat them. They're a good team. They're a really good team. It's not as if they've become a bad team overnight. They've got a great quarterback. They've got good weapons. But yeah, I think New England, I think Belichick just showed us exactly how you can hurt them. So I think we've got to take that as a sign that they are beatable if we do things right. So if we can learn from our mistakes and learn from what they did well, there's an opportunity there. They've also got a bit of a weak underbelly, and
Through
if we start
gritted teeth,
quick,
then what is so, like you say, Josh Allen, there's some to Stefon Diggs, but it goes beyond that. There's some good running backs in that stable as well. I still rate Latavius Murray, to be honest. What's the blueprint for stopping the Bills scoring? How we what do we need from our D?
well, you need to get to Josh Allen and not let him get out of the pocket too much, because if he is able to do that, they become a really, really difficult team to stop. I think if you just make him stay in the pocket and have to throw constantly, he will make mistakes. He does turn the ball over. If you can hit him, he does fumble. He's not a Patrick Mahomes. He's not as good with the ball. So if you can keep him in the pocket, stop him running, and stop him adding that to their game, that will be a massive start to beat them.
And Tim, you were talking last time about the Bucs secondary. How are they going to shape up against the likes of Stefon Diggs, Dalton Kincaid, Gabe Davis, James Cook? There's some good players in there. I mean, Gabe Davis, everyone thinks Stefon Diggs is the prime one. And Gabe Davis has only had 22 yards per catch, but they've gone for 16 yards a throw or a catch on average.
Yeah, they're a good receiving set. Diggs, I think, is a much underrated receiver. You hear the top guys talk about it. He tends not to get into that conversation. I think he ought to. His attitude sometimes annoys a few people on the sidelines and so on. But they are a good team. I rate James Cook in the backfield as well. So they've got a good all-round unit. So again, the only way, as Tom said, you've got to keep that pressure on to Josh Allen, because he is prone to some horrendous throws along with some magnificent plays. So it's that constant of getting at him and whether we're good enough for 60 minutes to keep at him.
So, Phil, it sounds a bit like deja vu, doesn't it? Pressure on the quarterback, and if we don't get pressure, then we're going to get stung by some good receivers. How aggressive do we need our defense to play?
I think they've got to play the best game they've played this season, be quite honest, because it's not only is a Buffalo lost to the Patriots, they also lost to the Jags as well, didn't they, the previous game. And I watched the whole game when they played the Jags in London, and I was surprised that Allen didn't look like he was on top form, be quite honest. He didn't throw the ball like he has been, but he's one of these quarterbacks that can have a really average game and all of a sudden pick you apart. But like I said, they've got to get to him, get to him, and don't make him comfortable. Because, like you said, he's a bit Brett Favre, isn't he? Get him unsettled, get him off his range, and he's not he's he makes a lot of mistakes, but he has got some seriously good weapons around him, really has. And it's funny you said about Gabe Davis. I've got down here in big letters, Gabe Davis, very underrated player. So we've really.
I think their receiving duo is the same as Mike Evans and Chris Godwin in terms of the talent and the way they complement each other.
Yeah, and they've also got Dawson Knox, who I think is one of the best tight ends as well. Mm. You know, he's also a very useful weapon to have.
Yeah, Knox and Kincaid, they're very, very good, able people.
Oh, I think I've got a very, very good team. Very good team indeed. But, you know, Thursday night, nice and cold in Buffalo. What possibly can go wrong, really? You know.
Let's just hope they don't have that usual opening shot of the temperature dial and some sort of stat about the Bucs.
Yeah.
You know, I remember both the Falcons and the Lions game, the first play, they slung a long one to one of their receivers. And you've got Stefan Diggs on the other end of it this time. So let's just hope everybody's up to speed.
So let's flip to the other side of the ball then. And the Bills defense and the Bucks offense. Tom, if we're calling plays, we talked last time about mixing up the run, being a bit more jinxy or a bit sneaky with some plays, something a bit unexpected. How are we going to score on this Bills defense? This Bills defense, I think, has played pretty well. They're not necessarily getting loads of turnovers, loads of interceptions, but they Leonard Floyd seems to be racking up the sacks, and they seem to be getting lots of pressure themselves.
Yeah, they're a good defense. I think when I watched the end of the game against the Patriots the other day, and Stevenson came into the game a lot on the last sort of drive for the Pats, so it could be Rashad White has a big role to play. And it wasn't necessarily just running. Stevenson was the dump-offs. And at the start of the Falcons game, we were getting a lot of that going with Rashad White, where he was picking up some dump-offs and was getting some decent gains. So maybe that's a way to get at them. Get your running back more into the game, not just running the ball, but a few dump-offs. If that's a weakness of theirs, especially if they are getting pressure at the quarterback, where he's going to need an outlet.
Okay, so that's one play we want to dial up, the sort of swing pass or dump off pass. Phil, what else are you calling?
Oh dear. Well, I'm a bit lost with this one, to be quite honest. We're all sitting here trying to be positive about this, and I just think we've got to keep flinging the ball, throw the ball, because what I think I've noticed about the Bills, Floyd is racking up the sacks, but everybody starts putting your attention on Floyd, and then you've got the others coming at you. You know, I mean, there's Bernard, I reckon he's a good player as well. And Oliver. Yep. And they just come at you from everywhere. You know, so we really have got to be on top. And I think throwing the ball and getting it away quick is going to be getting it away quick. Because
I think that's a good point,
use Rashad White as a receiver or as a receiver-type running back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't give it to him straight as a handoff. As we said earlier, the toss-out wide, the sweeps and so on. You know, I haven't seen Gadecki and Wirfs really pull this year at all. You know, we seem to be very static. That's your spot. And you probably watch 90% of the plays. They never move within about 2 or 3 yards of that actual spot. We don't pull a lot. We don't run screens. We just run a predictable offense the whole time. And they know when we're going to go wrong, they're going to throw it up to Mike Evans. That's the play. Or Chris Godwin, just over the middle.
But I think there's certain ways we could come back to the scheming and the calling, like Canales or whatever. There was one play quite early on, I think, against the Falcons, where I think the tight end was Cade Otton. It was on the left side of the line. Cade Otton motioned out, running past Mike Evans. They snapped the ball, and Evans came in on a sort of quite a deep slant, but some sort of in play. And no one's good. The size of Evans and coming inwards, used his body to protect the ball, and I think got about 8 yards out of it. And that sort of play, high percentage and almost unstoppable. So I think something like that. I think the tight ends I think will be key for me. And again, we had a lot of talk before the year about who was going to be the new Cambray or the new Gronk. And seems some of the early celebrations were perhaps a little bit premature. Tom, who do you think in the tight end stable? I mean, is it Cade Otton that seems to have the lead, you think?
It's still Otton for me. I think the other day he got 4 receptions, was it? Against Falcons. So we are finding ways to get him into the game, I think. Mm. And I think the interception at the end might have been targeting him as well. Mm. Just whether we can find ways to get him in, because he's not a bad tight end. He's no Gronk, but he's got he's got something. He's got fairly reliable hands. Mm-hmm. So I think he's probably the one of the ones that are there. The number of Titans we have, it could be a way to, as I said, with the getting the ball out quickly, the tight end can often be a quarterback's friend in that respect. So.
Yeah, because we're not very good at hurry-up offense, as we saw yesterday, either, are we?
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily worry about hurry-up offense. I've been looking through yesterday's game. We had one drive of over 5 minutes. One. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't expect this defense to hold the Bills to 13 points and so on. We've got to have sustained drives going. And probably if we went back over all the games, there's probably only one 5 minute plus drive on average in every game that we put together. I can't remember that sustained offense that we really need. And unfortunately, K-Dotton, yeah, good. He's not going to frighten anybody. People are not really scheming for him yet because they're not that worried about him. All they worry about, they'll just take Evans and Godwin out, knowing they can cover the rest at this moment. So that's why get Rashad White out on the outside. It's something different.
Yeah, and the new trend in the NFL these days does seem to be bend but don't break. We're kind of going back to the early 90s. Don't give up the big play. You know, the offense is bound to backfire and get something wrong eventually. And that seems to be the blueprint for beating the Bucs, doesn't it, at the moment? Because unless we get some chip plays or take a chunky yardage or manage to get something deep, you know, like I said, each of those drives, they tend to stutter because we make a mistake.
Tom said earlier, all the penalties honestly kill a lot of our momentum on Sunday.
We got three turnovers in the red zone the other against the Falcons. So we're doing a similar sort of thing where we're sort of allowing offenses to drive us up the field or down the field, and then we're taking the ball back, and then we're managing to drive down the field and just can't seem when we're in the red zone to make that final pass unless we have a big play to someone like Evans.
And when you haven't got those deeper plays, if once you're inside the 20, those big, long, scary routes to create space underneath don't exist, do they? Everything gets bunched up, everything gets huddled up, and that's where it gets tighter. Special teams-wise, still seems to be a bit of a bright spot. Tompkins seemed to try and get a few things going, and my take, as much as I know about anything, but it seems like the Bills are distinctly average, I think, on special teams. I feel like this could be some continuation with that. Could be a bit of a spark.
Oh, that
take any spark.
We'll take anything. Yeah, hopefully. Well, you always get the feeling that Tompkins is going to go for one big, almighty big run one of these days, do you? He's going to break the last tackle and off he goes.
You ever get some blocking?
I think.
Special teams is fine. We don't need to worry about it. And is it better than the Bills? Special teams currently at the moment? Yes, it is. I've been impressed with McLaughlin. So, he's fine. And that will be one bit we've got this parity with the Bills, if not even a slight advantage. It's just have we got enough parity or so on in the rest of the positions. And I'm not quite sure for this Thursday that we have.
So it's make your mind up time. You've got to put your money where your mouth is and tell me what the score is going to be. Phil, I'll come to you first. Okay, the clock ticks down. It's about 4:30 in the morning and it's bedtime for us. What is showing on that scoreboard?
It's going to be Buffalo 24-10.
Okay, that's definitely a head over a heart score. Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, as I say, if I'm talking with my head, it's probably going to be 31-17 to the Bills. But I think we at least keep it tight for a good amount of time. And if we can, we have a chance. So
I think that's a good call. Yeah, Tim?
I think there will be a couple of splash plays we'll make. Not quite enough. And it might be closer than the experts think. So something like 28-21, 24, something like that. Unfortunately, like the rest of the guys, I'd love to, but I just can't see us winning it. And I'd love to be wrong on Friday morning or Friday evening for me, actually, because I can't watch it Thursday night.
Well, you're gonna have to give me that, was it, coyote hat thing. I'm going to be the lone wolf howling. I think the Bucks can do this. So the Bucks lost to the Falcons 16-13. I think the Bucks will win 16-13. So my precondition is, if we can stop the Bills, and that's a big if, then I think we've got a chance, because I don't think we're going to put many points on the board. So the kind of I'm there. You know, I'm a homer with a heart. So I think it's 16-13 is the way the Bucks win. How likely that is, I'll take the fifth.
So I can keep 13 points, I'll be so happy.
I've just got nothing to say to this at all.
But you know what? We'll be there. It'll be 7 o'clock in the morning. We'll be watching it, because that's what we do. We're those crazy Brits and we can't get enough of our Bucks. So do you know what? It is what it is. We've been there. I think we've all, some of us have had to put up with, Trent Dilfer, Craig Erickson. We've Vinny Testaverde. We've seen leaner times than this, so we're not scared. If you'd like to share your favorite memory of depressing Bucks squads in the past, you're more than welcome to do so in the comments. But otherwise, I suggest you try and tell us how you think this game is going to go and what you think your score prediction is. Now I think YouTube's got some jazzy new animations on the buttons, so this is more than ever, make sure you like and subscribe, because I'm sure some pretty wonderful things are about to happen on your screen as soon as you do that. But thank you, Tom. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Tim. As ever, thank you guys for watching. It's a short week, so it'll be a bit longer till the next podcast. But after the game, Monday, Tuesday night, we'll be there telling you how it was. Until then, go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Go Bucks.